back to history again, and then we'll move on to some non-historical thing. The ending image may require some explanation, because even I'm not old enough to remember the Hindenburg trying to land at Lakehurst, New Jersey in 1937. But I've seen film of it, and maybe you have too. You recall from that the Hindenburg was a large, what are they called, blimp, zeppelin type, dirigible, crossing the ocean of the United States. And I guess it just about hooked up on the tower in Lakehurst when it broke into flame, and I suppose all the people, or most people, died in a terribly dramatic incident. And some reporter, I've heard recordings of him, was describing the landing, and of course not expecting anything to go wrong. And suddenly this thing bursts into flame in front of him, and he just about flips out with panic, with hysteria. Very dramatic recording if you ever hear it. So at least that brief picture is essential to the understanding, at least of the end of the poem, because that's the last line of the poem. Also, as T.S. Eliot said, a really good poet doesn't borrow lines, he steals them. So I stole one line from Washington Irving, of all places, from The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, and plugged it in there. Maybe you will hear it as it goes by you. Also stole the first line from a radio shrink who was trying to solve the ills of America by proselytizing that a dog or a cat can make you feel less lonely in life. And I find these this radiotherapy incredibly bizarre, if not saddening, in its simplicity. But in any case, it's supposed to be a happy poem. It's called Acolytes. An acolyte is a religious beginner, someone who serves the priest. A dog or a cat can make you feel less lonely in life. They're as good as the gun collector's magazine that you've always wanted to read, and going to the drugstore, you find it. Or a favorite radio program broadcast only from Grand Island, Nebraska. For weeks, you scheme, turning the backyard into an aerial jungle of wires run between garage and shed and clothesline. And on the designated night, hunched before your set in a snowstorm, you turn on the radio, and there it is, sheaves of grain flying through the rain. The best things, after all, in life are free. They hardly eat anything, crumbs from your cake, scraps of newspaper you find under hedges, and you can take them out for walks, ducks and geese wobbling ahead on strings, new converts or brides going to church while waving from their windows, the neighbors seem a bit more passivorous and passerine. But home again, you're as weary as those baseball players just finished a game of extra innings. Yet still not diminished, you slump in the chimney nook while the rabbit, looking like Friedrich Nietzsche, huddles in the corner and just breathes, watching the smoke from your pipe rise up among the rafters, among the chains of dried apples and the gay festoons of pears, watching it curl out under the eaves, begin to lift the thatched roof from its beams, as all by itself, here it comes, General MacArthur once again announcing the surrender of the Japanese, or the reporter going out of his mind, dancing at the landing of the Hindenburg, in Lakehurst, New Jersey, 1937.